The night began softly. My little sister, Deborah, and I were lying in bed, closing our eyes, trying to fall asleep in the midsummer heat. It was a couple of hours past dark, a scorcher of an August evening in Africa. I could hear the soothing voices of my mother and aunt chatting outdoors in the still heavy air. Deborah was 6 years old at the time, and I had just turned 10. For some reason, Deborah had been highly sentimental that day, hugging my mother and me, telling us she loved us. She did it time and again. I wondered what had come over her. Perhaps, somehow, she sensed that she would soon be leaving us. Sleep did not come that night. My mother stormed in from outside, a look of panic on her face like I had never seen. Mom was always such a calm, wise presence, strong and rarely rattled. At the time, we were living as refugees, driven from our home in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, because we belonged to a minority tribe, the Banyamulenge. For the past 3 months, I had been sleeping on a mattress on the ground in a big green tent at a crowded refugee camp in Burundi, run by the refugee arm of the United Nations. I shared my mattress with my mom and Deborah, the youngest of my 6 sisters and brothers. Mom and my sister Princess lived in our tent too. My dad and my brothers, Alex and Heritage, stayed in a tent next to ours. My sister Adele and brother Chris were with my grandparents up high in the Congolese mountains, known as the Ho Plateau. We were scattered, an unsettling feeling in such an uncertain time. For weeks, I had been dreaming of home, our big yellow brick house with a grass-green roof, filled with cousins and friends. I longed for the sparkling blue waters of Lake Tanganyika, the colossal lake where I loved to swim despite my parents' warnings about crocodiles. In the refugee camp, I had been imagining a time when I could return to school. I was an ace student, and I wanted desperately to put on my school uniform, navy blue knee-length skirt, white button-down polo shirt, white socks, and get back to class. I thought surely we would be going home soon, and my family would all be together again. That was wishful thinking. Mom shook Deborah and me from the mattress where we slept. Princess was away for the night, attending a choir concert in a nearby city. "Mujuketkwateu," Mom said. "Wake up! We are under attack!" We shared our tent with 6 families, mostly women and children. We knew one another intimately, like family. When people heard my mom's warning, they said, "No, you must be wrong. You're overreacting." Perhaps some thieves were stealing livestock from the nearby farm, they said, explaining away the distant sound of gunshots. "No," my mother said. And then we saw my aunt, Nyarukund. She had been hit by gunfire while standing outside the tent. Both of her arms had been struck, and one had nearly been ripped from the socket. That arm dangled oddly from her body, dark blood gushing like a river. "We need to wrap her arm," Mom said. "Help me find something to wrap it with." I was surprised that my mother knew what to do in such a situation. It would have made sense to use my bedsheet. I had seen enough action films with my brothers to know that sheets were the go-to item in that situation. But I couldn't think. I couldn't see well either, as the tent was dark as night. I opened my suitcase and grabbed a favorite silky blue dress that made me feel like a princess. The dress was brand new, the most important and beautiful thing I owned. I had been thinking of wearing it to church that Sunday, but I was afraid to get it dirty. Church was held outside in the middle of the camp, and we all sat on the ground. I thrust the dress at Mom. Now I wasn't worried about soiling it. I just wanted to help my aunt. But the material was too slippery to wrap her blood-soaked arm. My mother pulled off the inner layer of her traditional cotton dress and used that instead. We heard noise approaching rapidly as men descended on the camp by foot, gunshots piercing the night. The shots sounded like popping corn at first, then grew louder as they came near. The tent erupted in chaos. People began shouting directions. "Cut a hole in the side of the tent," someone yelled. "We'll escape through there."